And we are live.
Hello we there. Are live.
Yes, so they say. Very early this morning, isn't it? It's 8:15.
For you, it's early. For me, it's not that early.
Well, I've been running around since 5:30. And I was very surprised to get a WhatsApp from you so early this morning. Oh God, something's happened. We're just going to cancel this.
It was excitement.
It was excitement.
I had to share my idea.
Yes, yes. Okay, right. So, peeling potatoes, 24.
Yes.
Being exciting. And we have a special, a little bit of a competition.
Yes.
In the skills month. So we're talking in November, we're talking about skills. And I was putting together the pineapple, you know, the weekly pineapple slice. And I thought, wow, we've got a lot of articles and we've got some really, really good quality stuff there.
Yes.
So if you're listening, read the pineapple. It's far, far better than this. no, it's not. Anyway, so we're going to do skills, and I cooked up this idea. So, dear listener, Janita and I, Fruit Loop and I, we work with AI, as everybody else does, and we have a thing which we call the Fruit Bowl, because everything has some weird, wacky name with us.
Yes.
And our Fruit Bowl is also connected to our coffee tin, which is basically our Google Drive. Sorry, yeah.
Yes, office.
Our office.
Office,
yes.
Coffee tin.
Yes.
Our
yes.
filing cabinet.
Our filing cabinet, our junk room, compost bin, etc. And of course, the Fruit Bowl being probably quite knowledgeable about life and breeder. So what I did was I asked the Fruit Bowl to tell us about the Meyer and Fruit Loop.
Yes.
And it produced something.
Yes.
And then I said that based on the information, the Meyer should ask Fruit Loop 10 questions. And then I gave the whole thing to you, and you did the same in reverse.
Yes.
And the reason we're doing that is because, as you know, I'm a tad older than you, not much, just a generation or two. And the beauty of this collaboration is that we really get on well with each other, even though we're like a generation apart. We've never met. And when I speak to other people about this, they say, wow, this is really precious. Don't destroy it. I said, yeah, I know. Easier said than done. Yeah. And so we're going to do the skills intergenerational game. So we each have 10 questions.
Yes.
I cross my heart somewhere here. There it is. We have not shared these questions with each other. I have no idea what's going to come from you.
I have no idea what you are going to ask me.
Well, that's fairly standard, I would say. Yeah. And I'm still coughing like a hyena because I'm still suffering from the after effects of man flu. I survived it. Do I get a badge?
Yes.
Thank you. And we're going to... So we've got 10 questions each, unknown to the other party. And we're going to pick a random number between 1 and 10.
Yes.
Can you count to those levels? Are you?
Yes, I can.
Okay. And then we're going to ask the question, and then we're going to answer the question.
Yes.
So, Fruit Loop, ladies first.
Okay.
Which number would you like between 1 and 10?
My lucky number is 3, so I'll go with 3.
Your lucky number is 3. Okay. All right. Okay. So, are you ready?
Yes. Sort of, kind of.
Why are you laughing? This is deadly serious.
Okay. Ask me your serious question.
Right. So, you grew up with both mixtapes and memes. Which one taught you more about relationships?
Mixtapes. I would go for the mixtapes. Mostly because I like music a lot, and I used to listen to the radio. And I had a couple of tapes, and my radio could record music. So I would, especially in the evenings at 8 o'clock, there was a countdown of the best songs of the day or the best songs of the week or whatever. So I would sit and listen to my favorite songs and record them on the tape. So it took some time. Sometimes I was too late to start the recording. Sometimes I was too late to finish it. So there were some people talking in between. And then I remember one Christmas, my parents bought me and my sister both I think it was called a Walkman at that time, where you can listen to your tapes. I still have
Really?
that. Yes. I don't think it works anymore, but I still have it. Some precious memories.
Wow.
Yes. So I think listening to the songs and maybe the love I had for this Walkman that taught me a lot about relationships.
But I know, I mean, this is curious because I did pretty much the same thing. Yeah. So you have, something that resembled a boom box or something. And then you got these little, so I don't know with you, but with us, we had these little cassettes and you would get 90 minutes of
Yes.
cassette and you'd stick it in. We did exactly the same. Yeah. And you would want the DJ or the announcer to shut up because your
Yes.
favorite song had just started. And
Yes.
probably the opening bars were the best, and the guy has nothing better to do than blabber on. You say, you try to
Yes.
put your fist through the radio and say, "Come on, guy, shut up." Yeah. Yes, I did that. I did that too.
Yes.
When I was a kid in Australia, there was FM had just started, so everything was AM. So all of a sudden, you had stereo. That was like really fantastic. Yeah.
Yes.
And then there was one radio station called 2MBS FM in Sydney. And my parents were away, and I was there until 3 o'clock in the morning, on their stereo system with my little tape, putting it in
Yes.
and recording all these songs.
Yes.
So do you still have these cassettes?
I don't think so. I don't think so. But I do have the
You do have
Walkman.
the Walkman.
I don't actually know what happened to them.
Oh, they will get thrown away at some point because, things,
Probably.
I mean, I can't remember the last time I bought a CD because you've got streaming services now. You just
Yes.
download, you just keep it on Spotify or something like that.
Yes.
I suppose I have to say other streaming services are available.
But there's
Mixtapes.
some, yes, mixtapes.
I interrupted
No,
you.
that's okay.
So what was your favorite stuff? What were you listening to at the time?
There's one name that comes to mind. It's Enrique Iglesias.
Oh.
Yes, I have a lot of his CDs.
Oh.
So when I grew up and I had my own adult money, I could buy his CDs.
Okay.
But there were also things like the Spice Girls and Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera and Backstreet Boys. Westlife was another one.
Oh yes. What about I'm just thinking Take That. Did you listen to
Like that. So that was a little bit before my
that was a bit for
cassette recording
the
time.
time. Okay. Okay. All right. Mixtapes it is. Okay.
So, which number would you choose for your question?
I'm going to go straight for the middle, number 5.
Number five. Oh, my word. Okay. So it says, when life threw curveballs back then, who or what helped you bounce back? Your friends, your faith, your family, or your sheer stubbornness?
curveballs. Who picked me up? My friends, my family, my faith, or sheer stubbornness? I would have to say my sheer stubbornness. Because I am an only child, and we grew up in a, well, not we, I grew up in a neighborhood in Australia where there weren't many friends or many kids in the area.
Yes.
I went to a private / public school in the center of Adelaide, and so it had the entire city as a catchment area, so there were, you know, kids were all over the place, but none close to me. And then when I came back to Germany and I had to go back to school, I was the oddball because I had this weird background. So I always found myself not with a lot of friends, one or two good friends, but usually if the curveball hit me, it was usually of my own making. So I'm not going to go out to say somebody and say, you know, excuse me, I screwed up.
Yes.
And when you are sort of an only kid and you learn to live with that constellation of whatever it is, and you become, dare I say it, comfortable with your own company,
yes,
then you learn resilience on a different level, and you find the solutions to any problems or just by sheer thinking about it and reflecting on it.
Yes.
And I mean, even in the last 10, 15 years, I've had a couple of hefty curveballs. And you know, I think Breeder is the one thing I will fight tooth and nail for, because it is something that I created out of absolutely nothing, and I'm probably really proud of it.
Yes.
And I will make sure that nothing happens to it.
Yes.
And there have been highs and lows in the last 10 years of it, but I've always sat down and thought, okay, what's happening? And then I would spend a lot of time thinking about it, reflecting on it. Yeah, and that's something I've done all this time. Yeah, so
yes.
I am probably my own, yeah, own stubborn helper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I will go to other people. I will go to other people, go to my family, you know, or one cat's deserted. There's another cat cleaning its backside at the moment. such a disgusting animal, Uno. But I would speak with them, but I wouldn't really. Well, I take it on board, but I wouldn't consider it as much. Yeah.
Yes.
Because I am, you know, I've just become at this stage, and I'm probably too old to listen to anything else. Just become so self-reliant.
Okay? Yes.
Which you know has been part of the course of my life. Yeah. You know, yes. I will, and I think also because we're looking at this intergenerational thing, but I also acknowledge that because we're doing two generations here, I also know that I'm not going to, you know, flatter you here, but this is the actual way it is. Your generation thinks totally differently to my generation, and you do.
Yes.
You do things, from my perspective, you do things infinitely better. Because you are much more in tune, and I respect that.
Yes.
And so I say, okay, look, you know, Frank, you're getting to your sell-by date. You know, the shelf life is sort of coming to the end. I'm not going anywhere, you know, because I'm not going to let this go. But I also acknowledge that you, in what you do, just get it right, and I don't. And that's part of the learning lesson as well, to say, okay,
yeah. Yes.
Whoa. You know, and that's what happens, and that's also a normal transition. Yeah. So me, myself, and I, and then in other situations, I'm quite happy to hand over to you, and to say, okay, you do this because you are far more in tune than me.
Sorry, just give me a minute.
There's a dog fighting in the background, yeah?
No, the garden is, yeah. I don't know what he wants.
maybe to do the garden, yeah?
He has a ladder. He has a ladder, so I don't know what he's going to do. Probably paint something or move something.
Great. Okay. When he's done with your garden, tell him to come here because
okay.
I need to show you some pictures of what our courtyard looks like. It's right. So I've said my bit. Fruit Loop, pick a number. 3 is off the agenda. You cannot use that. So
I'll go for number 1.
Number 1. Okay. It's an easy one. When everything speeds up, what helps you slow down?
That is an easy answer. It would be a combination between reading and listening to music. So read anything. maybe a book. I have an app on my phone that I also like to read on. And then I shared something with you yesterday that I also... I'm also looking into that. There's some books that I want to read that's on there.
I'm going to fall back on the reading bit in a second, but carry on. Yeah.
Yes. No. And then listening to music. That is the other thing.
Mm.
When things get too much or too busy or too fast, I would just sit down, listen to music. And when I go for a run in the mornings as well, I also listen to music.
Okay.
Yes.
So this reading bit, music is also incredibly important to me.
Yes.
And I can, you know, if I'm really feeling grotty, then phone out, earplugs in, and close eyes and forget about everything. The reading is a bit of an issue. How do you get the headspace to read? Because in my case, last weekend, I crawled under my rock and then I put the rock on the sofa and I was a couch potato for 2 days running. Yeah. The only constructive thing I did was feed the two of us plus the cats. And that was really stressful.
Yes.
And then my wife said, you know, and we have a separate room here, which is what we call the library. It's full of books. And I went in there on, I think, Friday evening. And I thought, I need something to read. And I couldn't find... I mean, we're not short of books in this household.
Yes.
we've got one room dedicated to it. Then my mother's got another half a room upstairs in her living room with twice as many books. So there's actually no shortage of books in this. And, you know, the physical stuff, nothing on a phone.
Yes.
I couldn't find a thing. And then sort of by Saturday evening, I was sort of sunk into my funny world of whatever it was. And my wife said, you know, why did you read this? And I read the first 3 pages and thought, this is really, really good. And the book is now sitting on your side of the desk. It's staring at me and it hasn't been touched. And I do not have the headspace to read. So, and you're infinitely more busy than I am because you work, you run a household, you have a husband, you have a kid, you know, it's all full on. How do you read? Well, not how do you read, but how do you get the headspace to
with
read?
My eyes.
I walked straight into that.
Yes, you did. I don't know. So with the app on my phone, it's a lot easier. And it's also, so you have the option to pay for the app or you have the option to do some free reading. But with the free reading, it only gives you one chapter per book per day, or like every 6 hours. So it's not in just one chapter,
All
but
right.
every 6 hours, it gives you one chapter to read. And I think in a sense that helps because sometimes in the mornings, if I have some time, I will sit down and I would read one chapter. And then maybe I'm very excited to read the next chapter. So then later or tonight, for example, I would lie in bed and I would read the next chapter. Or I would read a chapter. But then it takes 6 hours to unlock the next one. But
That is
then I have.
brilliant.
Yes. And then that is what I would do. I would either read in the mornings or in the evenings. So when my son is at school or when he's sleeping, that is the best time because then it's quiet. My husband works very late in the evenings, so when he's working, I would read one or two pages. But if I'm too tired, I won't. Then I would just leave it.
Okay.
I like quiet. I like to be able to focus and concentrate on what I'm actually reading and imagine the story. But when the TV's on, when my son is running and screaming and shouting and playing, and my husband is talking to me, I just lose track of it. Then I have to read one sentence 20 times.
Well, I mean, this is where you either lock yourself in the bathroom or you tell your husband in no uncertain terms, "Can't you see I'm reading? Please leave me alone." And you,
That's why I do it at night.
okay, and you.
When they are either taking a nap, sleeping, or busy with other things and it's quiet, that's why I
Okay.
do it then.
Oh,
Or in
okay.
the mornings.
In the mornings. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So
Okay. I like.
that way I'm not rude.
So, but I like the idea of an app which only throws you a chapter at a time. That's actually a
Yes.
really good, that might be the solution. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Number seven.
Number seven. Okay. You've seen life before and after chaos became normal. Do you think people learn better through calm routines or through glorious disasters?
Definitely the calm routines, because again, I think it's fairly safe to say, and I'm sort of going back to the I'm going back to the recent weeks, not the previous years, but I'm going back to the previous weeks. I think it's safe to say that October was a fairly chaotic month,
Yes.
and November isn't far behind.
Yes.
And I there's a little voice inside me telling me, Frank, you need routines. You need to have a structure, because otherwise you are going to go under. The trouble is this: there's so many things in my life, especially sort of on the private side, that just disrupted all the time. And I actually have to escape the home office in order to get something done, because it's much
Yes.
more quiet outside of the home life than it is inside the home life.
Yes, I know the
And you just want to go out. And so if people are saying, if companies are saying, we want you back in our offices, there's actually an element of truth in that, because people are simply more focused and
Yes.
less distracted when they are in the same working environment. You may still have an asshole as a colleague, but you know, at least you're out of the firing line from the home front, because that just
yes.
it destroys you completely.
Exactly.
That said, within this calmness of a routine, of course, I have this thing up here. Yes, I do have a brain, and sometimes I also use it, but usually it just takes over and says I have an idea, and then it's going to throw me against the wall and say, okay, this is what you have to do now. Yeah.
Yes.
And I tend to be a sort of person who, if I have an idea, I want to follow it up immediately.
Yeah. Yes.
And then screw the routines. I mean, the idea is far, far more exciting, because I'm actually I love history and I find history incredibly important. And I'm, you know, bemoaning the fact that nobody really teaches history at school anymore.
Yes.
But I'm also insanely curious about the future and what's coming up. And so I have often caught myself in this situation where I've had an idea and I've sort of thrown it around a little bit, and then I have this picture perfect image in my head, and it's processed and it's finished, and it bores me, and I say, okay, I've done that, now what's new?
Yeah. Yes. What's next?
And maybe the fact is that if it's chaotic, I don't have time to think, because I'm burning, you know, I'm fighting fires.
Yes.
And in the summer, when things really quiet down, that's when I get a lot of ideas. And then sort of by September, October, when things pick up again, you know, well, I've got these ideas and I want to do them, but, you know, there's the reality of every day that sort of screws it all up. Yeah.
Yes.
So I've got you now, that I just throw the idea and you play with it, yeah?
Yes, yeah. You saw it.
You saw it. I'll never forget, I watched a documentary on Karl Lagerfeld, the fashion designer. And he was a person I always admired, basically because he also came from, he was born in the same city as I was, in Hamburg in Germany. And I just liked his creativity, and he had beautiful homes and stuff like that.
Yes.
And he was sitting in his atelier in Paris, and he was sketching out some idea on an A4 piece of paper. And then he just gives it to an assistant and says, you finish it.
Yes.
And I thought, this is really cool. he does the basic outline. He gives it to somebody else. But because it's Karl Lagerfeld, he gets the credit, not the poor sod who actually meshed it all out. Yeah.
Yes.
I will never forget that image. Yeah. So it's you know, and I think what we have to accept, that life is not perfect, whether you're 35 or 64. Yeah.
Yes.
It's how you approach it and what you do with it and how you play with it and how you accept it. Yeah.
Yes.
And it just sort of like throws you around, and then at the end of the day, something happens, and then either you like it or you don't. Yeah.
Yes.
But the last 6 weeks, and certainly the next 2 weeks, it's just been chaotic. And there's part of me saying, I don't want that anymore. Please.
Yes.
Yeah. I was really.
You learn through the chaos. This is too busy. This is too messy. I need a routine, or I need structure.
I mean, I was so happy yesterday that I managed to get through the backlog of podcasts that we had made.
Yes.
And I thought, yes, it's off my list finally, and it doesn't actually take that long to process a podcast. It, you know, it takes about a quarter of an hour, unless there's a major hiccup and then I have to start pulling things apart. But, you know, it's about 15 minutes. But those 15 minutes can be impossibly difficult to find. Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
Okay. So the next number I choose will be number 8.
Number 8. Oh, I like this one. So I'm going to put it to the light. Number 8. I'm really looking forward to this one. So, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
When life feels like a mystery box, do you shake it, open it, or decorate it first?
That's easy. Decorate it first. That's my creative side. I will definitely decorate it first.
Please explain.
I think it. Well, it's a mystery box. You don't know what's inside. Every day is a mystery. Don't know what's going to happen next. I think that's a very interesting question. So the mystery box can be positive or negative. It can be a curveball, or it can be something that you can use or something that you can learn from. So I think I'm going to use the mystery box, but I'm going to change it into running. That is a mystery box.
Okay, you're speaking in riddles,
Yes. So if I, let's say life gave me this mystery box and inside is running. So I open the box. Maybe I shake it a little bit to see if I can understand what's inside, and then I opened it. And then I decorate it. So not the box itself, but maybe what's inside. So the mystery box that was thrown in my direction was the color run that's coming at the end of the month. And every year I tell myself, this year I'm going to do it. This year I'm going to do it. And every year something else falls into that, onto that date. Whether it's a wedding or a birthday, or it was my own wedding, so I couldn't do it. It was my own wedding. It was my sister-in-law's wedding. It was my son's nephew's birthday, and then I think we were on holiday or something. So every year there's just something happening on that date. So my mom sent me the invitation to the color run, and you buy tickets, so the money goes to different charities and things. So I decided I'm going to do this year. And then I realized I only have 1 month to prepare to run 5 kilometers. So I'm unfit. And I haven't exercised in a very long time. And then I had to find a place where I can actually exercise that is safe enough. So yeah, I think I will shake the box a little bit. Think about possibilities, open the box, and then make a choice from there. Decorate it, see how nice I can make it look. Inviting.
Pity I'm not going to be able to actually be there physically on the 29th of November to see this whole blooming Fruit Loop running her 5 kilometers from the point of being a little unfit to where you are. So we are now on day 7 into this. You've still got 3 weeks ahead.
Yes.
How are you feeling?
My legs feel much better today. So yesterday they hurt really bad, but today they feel much better. And I feel positive, motivated, strong. And I just have to add, I don't like running. It was never something that I considered.
I mean, this goes back to a conversation we had back, and I can't remember when we were talking about
Yes.
cycling.
Yes.
That you love cycling because the
Yes.
only thing that you like running is when you're running away from something or
From
someone.
something, yes.
Yeah. That's the only motivational point. So I was very surprised when you said, "Oh, I'm going to do this color run on the 29th." I thought, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and I had a question. I've forgotten the question. You see, it's old age creeping.
So I think the reason I like it so much is because I get outside in the mornings. Couple of days it was cloudy and rainy, but I did it anyways. Then one morning there was beautiful sunshine. I was very happy about that. But I think it's just to get outside, breathe in some fresh air, different scenery. I think that is, might be the reason why. And that is also the reason why I loved cycling so much, because I was able to go outside and meet different people, see different things. So my idea is, if my training goes well, I would like to take part in our park runs every Saturday morning.
Brilliant.
That's also 5 kilometers, and those are actually timed, so I can see where my fitness lies.
On a sorry heap by the racetrack, you know, there
Yes,
here
next
lies
to the river, underneath a bench, feeling sorry for myself.
here lies my fitness at rest in peace. Yeah. No, but I think, I mean, I'm surprised you actually haven't said this word yet because it's one of your key words in everything that you do. It all starts with mindset.
Yes.
Yeah. And there comes a point, and I speak from experience here, because basically I should be doing the same thing, not running, but I should be, you know, exercising more and getting out more.
Yes.
And there comes a point when you're not actually bothered by the weather outside because you just want to be there. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
Yes.
because it just feels so good, and you see the impact it has. Yeah,
Yes.
and the you've just got to get to this point of no return, for want of a better expression. Yeah, where you
Yes.
say, you know, yeah, I don't care what the weather is, I need to be outside. And if it's just for, you know, if you don't do the full course, but you do half or a quarter or something like that, you just, you know,
Yes.
just satisfy this inner desire to be outside, then that's
Yes.
fine. Yeah, so
Yes.
kudos to you for doing that. Yeah.
Thank you. I still can't believe it myself.
Well, no.
But thinking about the weather, there was cycling races that I did in the rain, in wind, in sunshine, in scorching sun. So I think there comes a point where you don't care. You just do it because you love it so much.
Exactly. Yeah. And then with that comes the inner strength in saying, "Well, you know, let's do this." They said, "No, I need to do this," because, and then you
Yes.
become strong enough to project it to everybody else who's trying to disrupt this and say, and then people will finally understand, okay, well, this is, you know, this is what people
This
do.
is life now.
This is life, and this is the new normal, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
Okay. Now I'm keeping my fingers crossed that it works really well for you on the 29th, and
Thank you.
I do want status updates, even though I'm not going to be here. Yeah.
No, you'll definitely get some
Yeah.
photos.
Yeah. Also progress reports up to the day.
Sure.
But you are a spoil sport, because I remember in one of our WhatsApp exchanges earlier this week, you sort of, I think you had Greta draw a picture of you, or was it Matthew?
Yes.
And you did not share that. And I thought,
Yes. Oh, no need to share that. It
okay.
wasn't actually me. It was just an AI picture.
Well, there you go. I shall be on this planet and never know what Greta drew and thought of the image of you in this. Yeah. I will take this to my
Maybe I'll share
yeah, but there'll be this question mark, you know, over my, you know, over my head in my life. You know, this one thing I will never ever know. Yeah. Okay. Have I done question one?
No, you haven't.
Okay.
Okay, so question one, when you were my age, what did adulting even look like? And do you think my generation makes it look harder or just louder?
When I was your age, so I was born
Yes.
in 1961, that would make it 1996. Ooh, that was a rough period. So what was I doing then? I hadn't started all this teaching, facilitating stuff.
Yes.
I was working 1996.
I was 6 years old.
I didn't even knew you existed.
I don't think even I knew I existed. I was playing in a sandpit with my friend in kindergarten.
It was a really difficult period in my life. Hang on. No, it wasn't. 1994. No, it was. No, I had just begun doing this. I've got to try and. God, it's. So, no, it was. Can you repeat the question?
When you were my age, what did adulting even look like? And do you think my generation makes it look harder or just louder?
Okay, so adulting at that point was actually a little messy because I was in the middle of my divorce proceedings. I had started doing this, but I hadn't actually got my own language school. I was working for Berlitz at the time, and I had one little contract on the side. And that was actually good fun. I was living in Wiesbaden in central Germany, and I was working in Frankfurt, so I commuted back and forth 30 kilometers, and life was good. Like, you know, aside from all the messy divorcing
Yes.
part, life was good. And this strange thing called the internet had just begun to emerge.
Yes.
And that sort of, I went to somebody I knew and he introduced me to it. He was with AOL. There were two big companies at the time, CompuServe and AOL. And he showed it to me and I was like fascinated by this. And I went into, and I went down that road and started playing with the internet. Totally different in those days to what it is now.
Yes.
But I was happy. It was good. And so being an adult, sort of in your mid-30s, I mean, the 30s are a dangerous period. I screwed up a lot in that of time. But heck, that's life. I'm going to answer your question slightly differently. It's louder. Your generation are louder. But there's a specific reason for that. Our generation, for whatever reason, we actually laid a lot of the foundational work of what you guys have inherited and what the, you know, the next generation, so the Gen Zs, so you're a millennial, and the others are Gen Z, are inherited. And at least here in Europe, I remember in the early 80s, we were talking about things like acid rain in Germany. So this environmental thinking had already started.
Yes.
Because somebody had discovered that the rain that was falling out of the sky was acidic and that it was destroying the German forests, and Germany loves
Yes.
its forests, you know.
Yes.
And out of this awareness emerged a green movement, which morphed into the green parties, which were, you know, very, very different in their thinking and in their approach.
Yes.
And over the generations, they actually sort of have shaped political thinking, political debate, etc. And a lot of young people don't see that. That was actually our generation who started to wake up to the problems.
Yes.
And started implementing solutions, but these solutions take a long, long time. Yeah.
Yes.
I have to admit, I would not want to be your age.
In this time now.
Yes.
Okay. That's fair enough.
Because, and I don't think, you know, I have these conversations with my 88-year-old mother. She can't understand my generation and how I do things. Yeah, she's it's completely alien to her how I can be self-employed. And this complete lack of security, which the lack of security actually provides the security because you're constantly on the ball to make sure nothing goes wrong.
Yes.
And she can't understand this lack of security. And I can't understand, or I can understand, but I don't want to understand. And that's not well formulated either. I see the problems that your generation face, this insecurity, this huge choice of opportunities. We didn't have any of that. And my parents didn't have that either. They had even less. Yeah.
Yes.
And to orientate yourself in this sea of chaos and possibilities, I find, and I'm not shy of new things, yeah, but I find overwhelming. Yeah. And, you know, and the beauty of our dialogues and with other people is that you, I sort of am beginning to understand that you have developed a skill set in order to navigate this. And you shout differently. I mean, we shouted. Yeah, we shouted against authoritarian, you know, against oppressiveness, about the old mindset. We protested just as much as you do, but our protests were different. We just wanted to break free from the shackles of an old generation that was so conservative. And we were radical as kids. You are radical, but differently, because our generation has given you so many opportunities that you actually don't know how to cope with them.
Yes.
Yeah. And I always say, don't blame your generation for your mishaps and the way you do things, and don't blame the Gen Zs and now the Gen As, and we are now beginning to get the first Generation Bs appearing. Yeah.
Yes.
This is how far down the road we're going. Yeah. We can't blame you for what you're doing and how you do things, because it's actually our work that we gave to you to say, okay, look, this is it. You know, go play. Yeah. So it's loud. It's very, very loud.
Yes.
But it is also very exciting, because I love to see what you guys are doing.
Yeah. Yes.
That goes back to what I said earlier, where I just know in this little bubble of ours, this breeder bubble that we're creating, you do things differently and much better because you have the different skill sets to me, because, you know, there you go.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going to throw this curveball back to you. How do you see it from the generation of, I mean, working with me, a generation older, and but also that of your parents, and also putting it into the context of me being in Europe at your age and your parents being in South Africa, which at that time was a completely different country to what it is now? Yeah. So how do you see it from the, in reverse?
So if I think back to when I was 6 years old, what adulting looked like then. You wake up early in the morning, you have breakfast, get the kids ready for school, take them to school, go to work. Work the whole day. Then we would go home after school because my mom didn't work, just my dad. And then at a certain time, we had to take a bath. My mom was cooking dinner. So when my dad gets home, we would all sit around the table and eat dinner together. So that was the example that I had of adult life. Weekends were for barbecues and working in the garden and playing cricket outside or riding your bicycle, whatever. And the adults took naps. Saturdays and Sunday afternoons, there was always a nap between maybe 1 and 2. They made it look easy. Now it's not. I don't have time to take a nap. I work from home, so I don't have to drive to work, but I did that. I don't know. I don't know how they m made it look easy. I think it looks harder now, or it is.
It is, yeah, it is, and you're
Is.
basically confirming what I say. How
Yeah.
much, but how much of your parents' way of doing things have you incorporated in your own domestic life?
I can't think of anything because they were all about routine. I think the only part of that is maybe getting my son ready and taking him to school. That is part of the routine. But then after I dropped him off, I either go exercise or I come back home. And then the rest of the day, it's everyone for themselves, race to school, pick up my son, bring him back home. And then whatever happens the rest of the afternoon, and then somewhere in between we'll decide who cooks dinner. We never eat at the same time. That also depends on the schedule. But then bedtime is on schedule. That is also in the routine. So we had to be in bed by 8 o'clock. We didn't have TVs in the rooms, we didn't have cell phones, we had maybe a radio, they could play some cassettes. But by 8 o'clock it was lights out. So I'm trying to get that to for my son so that he can also sleep at 8 o'clock, otherwise he's too tired in the mornings. But he pushes his luck. So sometimes he would only fall asleep at 9. Sometimes it would be earlier, like 8:10. So that's not going so well, but I try.
So, I mean, this opens a really dangerous can of worms. I'm
Yeah.
not sure I want to go there, but would you say that you had a, in this very structured life that you had as a kid, would you say you had a happy childhood?
Yes, of course. I think about it, we had we didn't have like Netflix and those things. So I think what we had, we called it cable TV. I don't know. So we only had three channels, and one of these channels showed cartoons in the afternoons between 3 and 5. But we only watched maybe one or two cartoons, and then my mom used to watch Days of Our Lives at 5 o'clock. And then after that, it's Bold and the Beautiful. So sometimes we would watch Days of Our Lives with her or Bold and the Beautiful with her. Even though Bold and the Beautiful was about our bath time, we had dinner time, bath time around there. But we played outside. We had a tree house. We had bicycles. We had rollerblades. We could play cricket or hockey. We also did sport in school. So I think we spend a lot more time outside than actually inside. No, only on the rainy days we'd be inside. If it was school holidays, we would throw out all our toys, build Barbie houses, play Barbie the whole school holiday. So our beds were raised from the floor. And there was a lot of space underneath, so we would build the house underneath the bed. So we shared a room, so we can actually still move it around in the room. And when we go to bed, we can leave everything hidden. And so we can just continue playing the next day. But during school times, we didn't really do that. We would play with our toys, but we wouldn't take everything out because we knew we had to pick it up again before we have to go to school. So, well, we were outside most of the time.
And this example mirrors exactly what I was saying. So imagine you took all your Netflixes and all the distractions away in your own family. Yeah.
Yes.
And you took all that away and you lived on one income and you had everything you needed.
Yes.
I don't think that's possible. Or it would be exceedingly difficult, but it is our generation that gave you Netflix and the Barbie dolls and everything. So we
Yes.
actually made it much more difficult for you to live the happy childhood that you had. Because I mean, you're looking at this and you're smiling and there's warmth in your voice, yeah, because it was a
Yes.
happy period and you didn't need much. But now we're telling you, our generation, saying, oh, you need Netflix, you need this streaming service, you need that
Yes.
subscription, you need this brand of whatever it is. And the fact that you can't afford it is, well, we'll give you the money as well. Yeah. And that's that generational shift.
Yes.
And it's all framed as fantastic opportunities.
Yes.
And this is going to be a purely rhetorical question. I don't want an answer. But if you compare the happiness of families between generations, who is slash was the happier family? Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It leaves a lot to be desired. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
On be, on,
It's
on
the
behalf
truth.
on behalf of my
It's
generation.
honest and truth.
Yeah, on behalf of my generation, I apologize. Okay, I think we should do one more question.
I should choose a number.
Choose a number.
Let's do number 10.
Number 10. You can do this one. And you can actually answer this one. It might be a little bit early, but you can actually answer this one.
Okay.
If the next generation, and you know who that is,
Yeah.
if the next generation asked you what it means to grow up, would you
Yes.
tell them to settle down or level up?
Level up. Level up. Wear a spacesuit. Level up. Be strong. Be fit. Make healthy choices. Choose wisely. But level Be prepared, stay focused, stay positive, and hold on to your seat. All hands and arms inside of the But go for it. That would be my answer.
I wonder what your parents would have said to this question.
It's a good question. Well, I think my dad would also say level up. My mom would just say have fun, be happy. I think it also depends on personalities what they will tell you. But I think if you look at experience or things that you are going through, things that are constantly changing, either for better or for worse, I think you have to level up. What would you say?
Well, I think because no, I would also say level up. I've said this a few times. When I was a kid, I used to listen to these radio shows like you as well. And there was one show called American Top 40, And it was broadcast on 5DN, I think was the radio station that I listened to it on in Adelaide. And it was moderated and put together by a chap called Casey Kasem. Now, if you research him on, or if you Google him, you know, he's just like this 1960s short sides, you know, really conservative looking guy. And you couldn't think that he was, you know, running a radio show with all the music of the 60s and 70s. Yeah.
Yes.
And he always finished, his show with this fantastic sentence: keep your feet on the ground, but keep reaching for the stars.
Okay.
So, and that sort of stuck with me all these years. So I think,
yes,
settle down, have a foundation, have the traditional family, because families are important. That's what,
yes,
the glue that holds everything together.
Yeah. Yeah.
But level up and go out and see what there is to do, because despite the criticisms, we actually haven't done anything bad, our generation. We've given you all these opportunities. Yes. We just didn't give you the instruction manual on how to manage them.
I don't think anyone has one.
Yeah.
How to understand your wife, how to understand your kids, how to understand your husband, and
exactly,
then how to live a decent life and how to make money. There's a lot of manuals we don't have.
Yeah. But certainly level up, yeah, but keep your feet on the ground. Yeah.
Yes. Have a solid foundation, but
yeah. And that I
wouldn't say settle down. That kind of feels, well, settle down in a family sense, yes. But just have a solid foundation,
yeah,
and then level up. Because settling down sounds like falling into a
rut.
Like your comfort zone. Mm. Yeah.
No, there's nothing wrong with that on a weekend. Yeah.
On a weekend, that's fine.
Couch, be a couch potato under a rock. Okay.
But I think my generation is also like side businesses and hustling and getting things done. And so that's why I'm saying level up.
But again, that ties into this whole commercial environment that, you know, it has become impossible to live on one income as an ordinary person. Yeah. For whatever reason. Yeah.
And sometimes even like I have an income, my husband has an income, but then you have side incomes so that you can create a big basket just to make it through the month.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, that is the key sentence, just to make it through the month. I mean, that's
exactly
so symbolic, that sentence. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. What's my last number? I think I'll go for number 10 as well.
Okay. Let me just get number 10. So if you could teach my generation one old school life skill to survive the modern circus, what would it be?
One old school
life skill to survive.
Respect.
Okay. Okay.
I remember in one of our conversations, I said, a person should hang out with his own generation, speak with the previous generation, so with the older generation, and listen to the younger generation.
Yes, I remember.
Because each generation is different.
Yes.
They did their best, more they could not do.
Yes.
And we have to respect that. We can be critical, but you have to put everything into the bigger context of life at that time.
Yes.
And maybe say it was a mistake in hindsight. But at that point of time, we didn't know any different.
Yes.
And I think if you respect that, well, if you come with that approach and respect it, I think there would be far less conflict on this planet. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I remember, you know, there were movements years ago where this that statues of people who supported slavery were taken down from public places, sometimes violently, sometimes, you know, a council said, okay, we're going to move this person.
Yes.
And I asked myself, why? They should serve as a reminder that in our values today, mm-hmm. this is what they did in those days. Now we know it isn't good. Let's not forget that.
Yes.
Yeah. And the other thing, again, I know what I'm speaking about here is because, as you know, I'm a German national, at least on paper. I'm not going to go into further details about that. German history is checkered. And as a kid in Australia, I was labeled a Nazi by other kids who didn't know what it actually meant. Yeah.
Yes.
But my mother will never stop in her own way, be it here, this is a book you should read or this is an article you should read, that reminds our generation of what the Nazi, not Germany, not Germans, but the Nazi regime did to the Jews back in the 1930s and 1940s. And this trait has actually continued, not this anti-Semitism trait, I mean, it exists again today, and that's unfortunate, but this awareness of what happened in the 30s and 40s persists today, and it's very much remembered in public life.
Yes.
You know, the younger generation are taught this, they are reminded of it, but they are also now becoming more self-conscious and more dynamic in their own approach. Yeah.
Yes.
So I think respect is the one thing I would teach. Yeah.
Okay.
We're not perfect. Nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
But put it into context and you may actually and also with the respect also comes the ability to see something from the opposite perspective. Yeah. So,
yes.
You know, you look at it something from my perspective. I look at something from your perspective.
Yes.
And it becomes understandable. It may not, you may not agree, you may disagree, and then you agree to disagree, but at least you know where that person is coming from. And I think that is something that is lacking today. And in this intense polarization that we are seeing, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, the whole world was watching on the mayoral elections in New York City. And Mamdani, who is the youngest mayor in New York City in over a century, he's a Muslim. I mean, he just completely rewrote the rule book.
Yes.
And Donald Trump has nothing better to do than to A, threaten federal funding of New York City and say, well, we should talk. But and the way that message came across was so disrespectful to the young generation because it's pure power politics. And this polarization is dangerous. And if it doesn't stop, I'm not going to be too optimistic about the future.
Yeah. Yes.
At least in certain countries like the United States, like in Europe. Yeah.
Yes.
And when I look towards the African continent, I mean, yes, there are problems. There are horrific problems on the African continent. But I think basically the image that I get, I could be wrong, is one of more unity, more harmony, of a more positive identity. Yeah. On the surface, yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
On the surface.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff bubbling underneath if you go into the detail. Yes. Maybe I'm being too naive here. Respect, talking, understanding, those are the, it's very simple. It doesn't take much effort. Yeah. You know, like you and I are doing. Yeah.
Yes.
You're 30 odd years younger than me, and we're having a great conversation.
Exactly.
And that's, I think, the best way to finish peeling potatoes 24.
Yes.
But before
no
I
better
do,
way to finish. Yes.
Before I do that, I'm going to throw the question back to you. What would you like us to teach you?
So I was thinking about things like smart shopping, maybe. But I think that is because it's something that I like to do. So I search for promotions, specials, sales, and the best prices. Now, if I go to the supermarket, I will pay double for a packet of apples. But if I go to the small shop just
down the road,
yes, like 2 kilometers down the road, I will pay half the price that I would pay at the supermarket, and it's exactly the same apples. So I think something in those lines. So obviously it doesn't, like, I wouldn't drive 40 kilometers to a specific supermarket just because they have milk on sale. But just like in the area, where do I find the best prices for the things that we use on a daily basis? Like fresh vegetables and fresh fruit. I won't buy it at the supermarket, but I will buy it just up the road here. And he buys them from the market. So every week he goes to the market at least 2 or 3 times. It's a Portuguese man, very friendly. And then he would bring the fruit and vegetables and they sell it. And they have a variety. So maybe something like that. Like do smart shop smart.
I mean this is so
cooking skills. You need to have cooking skills. You need to know how to take certain ingredients and make a dish out of it.
Well, there's no shortage of recipes flowing back and forth.
I know.
But I find this so symbolic. Yeah. So here I am, 64, and you throw this question at me, and I come with this deep philosophical reflective. We should respect each other. And you come up with, well, that's all nice and good, Frank, but that's not actually going to, you know, keep me my budget. And I know that if I go to the Portuguese greengrocer down the road, A, who's nicer, and B, he's cheaper and he's got just as good quality. Whereas on this side of the equator, it's the exact opposite. I would love to go to the Turkish shop.
Yes.
Yeah. But he's more expensive than the supermarket, and I'm on a budget. So I would like to support his business, but I can't. I've got to go to the supermarket. Yeah. I think that is a beautiful ending to the much better ending, because it just highlights the differences in mentality and how we approach things. Yeah. Janita, our podcasts are getting better. Episode 24 of Peeling Potatoes. Before we ramp on for the rest of the day, let's call it a day here. Thank you for a fascinating conversation.
It's my pleasure. I had a lot of fun.
I had fun and I learned a lot. And this is what I just like this sort of thing. So thank you.
Yes. It's my pleasure.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed it.
Let's continue. Yeah. Okay. Yes. I'll see you next time. Same time next week.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Next time, same place.
Same time. Whatever. Okay. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.